All right, live here from the Public House as we get ready to wrap up this three-game series with the first-place Minnesota Twins. Let's go up to the booth and bring in the Hall of Famer, John Miller. John, how are you on this Sunday?
Fabulous. And the Giants, I had this all worked out, Marty, okay. How the Giants did so well in the first half last year. And it threw 90 games, and it might be right up to the All-Star break, or right around there anyway. They were 57-33. Remember, they had that stretch where they were 40-15 to get there after a so-so start. And then after the break, they opened up in San Diego and then went on to Boston and New York. And they got swept by San Diego, got swept in Boston, and won 1 out of 3 in New York. And it was maybe not a catastrophe, that road trip, but it certainly was not good. And that, unfortunately, set the tone for the second half of the season. So I would just... wondering, since the cast is very similar to last year's cast, if maybe this group, although they've started poorly, has a hot streak like that in them still. So I did ask Bruce Bochy about that during the pregame interview, still to come on KNBR 680, the sports leader. But I was just trying to figure out, well, how hot would they have to be? So instead of talking about the possibilities of coming from 15 games out or, 16 games out or whatever it is now, because I'm not looking at the standings real closely these days, Marty, I have to tell you. Sort of a defense mechanism for me. But my idea was, well, they won 87 games last year to get one of the wild card spots, to get into that wild card one-game playoff. What would they have to do to win 87 games this year? So that's pretty easy to figure. They have to win 62 games. And that means 62 wins, 36 losses. Now, that's red hot, but it's also very similar to where they were in the first pre-All-Star part of the season last year, 57-33. So can they do that? Because there's the other side of it where you say, man, they finished poorly last year, and they've started poorly this year. Maybe that's become a trend that is not a good one, but you still see all the pitching, they're still getting excellent pitching and not winning so many of those games where they get a quality start. And yet you see so many proven guys who are not hitting right now. So Bruce Bochy, he's preferring to look at it as these guys are going to rise to, like they always have, and end up hitting right around where they have for their whole careers. So he's subscribing to that theory, and we'll see. But at this point, I think studying the standings, well, I don't think they can do this or that. I think it's more about just starting to play well, starting to hit. In particular, I think starting to hit. And Marty, that's all I have to say about that.
Very good summary. But, sometimes when a hitter goes in the slump, they get the video of all the home runs the hitter hit or the big hits. Say, to see what you did right. What did they do so right in the beginning of last year that they just can't do now? What's the real difference?
Well, in terms of a slump and what hitters will do in terms of trying to shake themselves out of it, I remember years ago, back in the 80s, Cal Ripken, who's now a Hall of Famer, he was mired in a slump, and he asked me if it would be possible to get all of the home runs he hit the previous year when he won the MVP and put them on a cassette. In those days we had cassette tape. There were no digital stuff at that time. And I said, well, yeah, but it's just radio. And he said, no, but I'll remember each home run. It would just kind of jog my memory to hear the crack of the bat and the roar of the crowd and you describing where it went. I'll remember how it felt. And he says, I think it'll help me in terms of getting that groove back. So I never followed up with him. I did give him all those home runs on a cassette, and I never followed up with him, but he did make the Hall of Fame, so I'm just going to assume that it worked out really well.
I like it. That's a good idea. Maybe we should suggest that.
Well, I think there are such small differences between hitting a ball squarely and hitting under the ball, or because what we've seen a lot of early this year are guys missing pitches that look to be right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes even taking those pitches. Belt took one yesterday in the inning after Denard Span. had the leadoff double and got to third with one out. And Beldon eventually got the walk, but it was like, well, wait a minute. They never got that run. Here he just planted one in the bay. He might have planted another one in the bay. The 3-1 pitch that he took was very similar to the one he hit for the home run. Now, you know, whatever he was thinking at that time. And, you know, maybe he outthought himself. Maybe this guy had that great curveball, and he had a good changeup. Maybe he thought, hey, 3-1, first base is open. He's not going to risk putting a fastball right over the middle where I clobbered it the last time. Well, he was wrong. He did. But these kind of things happen. And Bochy called it a meeting with his club today before the game, and he wouldn't really talk about what he was going to talk about with them specifically, but he did talk a lot on his show about he thinks it's important for these guys to remember how good they are, and because they're not going well right now, but also at the same time to have a sense of urgency, because it's not like, hey, we're just going to shake out of this sooner or later. Well, sooner is here. It's time right now to shake out of it. Yeah,
so. Got laid early. All right, we're going to take a break. John, let's look at the origin of the Minnesota Twins, where they came from. It's kind of an interesting story. We'll do that with John when we come back. John, the Minnesota Twins are the old Washington Senators, the real Washington Senators. They have an interesting history.
First in war, first in peace, last in the American League.
That's right.
And so they had a long history in Washington and didn't always do very well. In fact, that was the exception when they did well. But they did have a lot of great players who played there. And in the 50s, when they were still in Washington, they came up with a lot of real genuine sluggers, guys like Harmon Killebrew and Jim Lemon and Bob Allison and on down the list. And they ended up in the first expansion. They were almost really a cause of the first expansion in Major League Baseball, because, you know, baseball had gone with 8 teams in the two leagues since 1901, and 16 teams was all. And the Griffith family decided they wanted to move the Senators to Minneapolis and go west. And so the baseball thought, well, man, we can't not have a team in our nation's capital. And so they decided to expand, and they added a team in Washington, and they added a team in Southern California, the Angels. And that was the first expansion. The American League went to 10 teams. So the Senators moved on to Minneapolis, and they played in the old Metropolitan Stadium, and which was a genuinely weird kind of a ballpark. And but they hit so many home runs. They hit well over 200 home runs a year for 2 or 3 years in the early 60s. And so that was a fun ball club, and they've been there ever since. And really, they completely eliminated all references to their Washington Senators heritage, I guess because there was a new Washington Senators team. But when they did finally win a World Series, then everybody said, hey, it's the Senators. They won their first World Series since, 1933 or 1924. Yeah, so... anyway, that's their history. The Griffith family owned them for a good long while they were in Minnesota.
Good history, very good. And it ties everything together. And you're right, you're exactly right. It got rid of what was going to be the Continental League that Branch Rickey and William Shea were putting together, and that led to expansion and eventually the Mets and the Houston Colt 45s.
The Continental League, because the Giants and the Dodgers have both left New York with just one team. So the Continental League was going to put a team in New York. And that really, a guy named William Shea was one of the great movers and shakers, a very well-connected man in New York at that time, for the National League to expand, including a new team in New York. And that's where the Mets were born. The National League expansion took place 1 year after the American League expansion.
And one last thought, the Giants farm team, Minneapolis.
Willie Mays, the Minneapolis Millers. What a great name for a team.
How about that one? The Minneapolis Millers. I like that one.
And what was Willie? Willie was hitting .477 or something when they brought him up.
You better get it right, because he's going to tell you.
Okay, he was hitting .877.
Really, believe me. All right, great to talk to you, John. I love it.
All right,
it. Very good.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, thank you. All right, more coming up. Our pregame Diamond Notes next, right here in the Sports Leader.